Welcome back into the Friday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Alonzo with you till 4 this afternoon. You can call us at 844-477-3776. Health Care text line 71307. Maybe you have some thoughts about some of these bowl games this weekend. Do you realize that less than 24 hours from now, we will be having bowl games? Sort of. Like Tulane and Louisiana in the Cure Bowl.
Those kids are going to have fun. They're going to go and put their heart into it and have a blast.
Tomorrow at 1:30, Tulane and Louisiana at Camping World Stadium in Orlando.
I think there's anyone listening right now who will actually watch that game.
You would have to almost have a connection to a school to watch that game, right?
Or be one of those, college football is the best sport of all time, and I'll watch any game it's on no matter what time of night.
No, because we got NFL tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so we do.
That's the problem. Now, the NFL doesn't start till 4, so you might watch that game and then switch to NFL. They probably should have put in a better game earlier that wasn't head-to-head with the NFL, maybe. That one's at 1:30. Or the Utah State, North Texas games at 2 o'clock in the New Mexico Bowl in Albuquerque. The Mean Green of North Texas. That's a 2 o'clock game. Tomorrow at 3:30 in Las Vegas, it is the Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl. Bum, bum, bum. Fresno State, they're ranked number 21. And Arizona State, Sam Boyd Stadium. ABC has that at 3:30 tomorrow. 5:30 tomorrow from Montgomery, Alabama, the Camellia Bowl, Eastern Michigan and Georgia Southern, 5:30 on ESPN tomorrow. And then tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. It's the New Orleans Bowl. That's Middle Tennessee and Appalachian State. And that'll probably be the one that we have our Christmas party on Saturday night. I can't watch that. We had our company Christmas party on Saturday.
Well, maybe they'll have it on at the party. I don't know. I haven't been in years, so do they have TVs there? I don't know.
No, we just sit around and talk about you.
I don't blame you there, but yeah.
Why is Lonzo not here? I don't know. I don't know if they have TVs there. And I think technically it's like over at 9 o'clock. So I can still come home and watch it. The Appalachian State, Middle Tennessee game. That, you know, it's Appalachian State from nearby Boone, North Carolina. Diesel will be watching, I'm sure. He should go. Is he going? I haven't heard him say. New Orleans?
Yeah, like I listened to him. No, I don't know if he's going or not.
9 o'clock ESPN on Saturday night. So those are the 5 games we have on Saturday. After that, nothing till Tuesday when we have the Boca Raton Bowl in Florida. And that's UAB in Northern Illinois. Wednesday, the Frisco Bowl. In not in San Francisco, but in Frisco, Texas, there is a difference.
That's deceptive right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, San Diego State in Ohio, and that one on Wednesday night.
Now, see, there's absolutely nothing going on Wednesday night unless there's an NBA game, so I might actually watch,
that. San Diego yeah. State. Thursday night, Marshall in South Florida in the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. We don't have too many bowl games. That's it, Raymond James in Tampa. That's Marshall in South Florida, 8 o'clock.
Other than this bowl, have you ever heard of Bad Boy Mowers before?
I have not.
Maybe they're popular out west or something.
I don't know.
It's not like a Troy Belt or something like that.
They'll be famous after Thursday, though, buddy. And then coming up next Friday night, going into the long Christmas weekend, there are actually two bowl games next Friday night, a week from tonight. The Bahamas Bowl, of course, at Thomas Robinson Stadium in Nassau. I've been to Nassau several times, and I remember being close to that stadium, but I never got a good look at it. I remember walking within a few blocks of it. So, and I felt safe. So there's the good news. If you're going to the Thomas Robinson Stadium for the Bahamas Bowl, that's Florida International in Toledo, 12:30 next Friday. So that's an afternoon game. And then a 4 p.m. game. So the two games next Friday are day games. 12:30 for the Bahamas Bowl, Florida International in Toledo. And then 4 p.m., Albertson Stadium in Boise for the Potato Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Western Michigan and BYU. All right. So, you know, yeah, the first week is not good. I can't find anything I can sink my teeth into.
I think you should petition the powers that be to let us carry those Friday games because those sound excellent.
You got it, man. We'll jump all over that next Friday. Why not? And then next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, it does start to get a little bit better. If you're an ACC fan, you might care about Wake Forest against Memphis in the Birmingham Bowl. You might care about Army-Houston, maybe, if you're an Armed Forces kind of guy. That's 3:30 start in the Armed Forces Bowl next Saturday, not tomorrow. Buffalo and Troy in the Dollar General Bowl, and Hawaii and Louisiana Tech will be in the Hawaii Bowl at Aloha Stadium. After Christmas, it will start to get better. Start to get more ACC, SEC teams involved in bowl games, and that's always a plus around here. December 29th, it'll be the Belk Bowl in Charlotte. 12 noon kickoff at Bank of America Stadium between the South Carolina Gamecocks and the Virginia Cavaliers, both 7-5 teams matching up. Will Muschamp, they had the Belk Bowl press conference yesterday in Charlotte. Will Muschamp previewing the bowl from the South Carolina point of view.
Great to be in Charlotte, the Queen City. I've developed a little bit of a love-hate relationship with this city. Love coming up here and playing. As we said before, it's been really good to the University of South Carolina. We've got 5 players on our roster from this area. There's outstanding high school coaches in this area and really good football players. Love coming to Bank of America Stadium. A venue's as good as anywhere in the country, and obviously it's been good to South Carolina. Our second year open up against NC State in a fantastic game. I come up here every spring with Coach Tanner and Charles Waddell and watch our baseball team play North Carolina in the venue downtown. It's a beautiful place. And then obviously the Gamecock Club here in Charlotte is as good as anywhere. And I always like to come up here and visit with these people. The hate part of it is I've been on the road the last 2 weeks recruiting. And every time I call my wife, she says she's driving to Charlotte to shop. And everything here is really expensive. So, Will, can you work on that a little bit?
I got the folks from Belk here. We'll get
them. All right, good. We need some better pricing. But it's an awesome place to be. Obviously, we'll have a great contingent show out at Bank of America on the 29th there at noon. Got a lot of respect for Coach Mendenhall. Really respected him from afar. As you turn the tape on, his guys play tough and physical. And that's the biggest compliment you could give a coach and how our guys play on tape. And it speaks for itself. But offensively, give a lot of issues. Bryce Perkins is a guy that creates a lot of what I call off-rhythm plays. Some issues in the run game. They've got some unique things they do in the run game. Jordan Ellis is an outstanding back. They've got a really good skill set of players, but tough and physical up front. They've got a 3-4 structure defensively, which they got some length and athleticism in the front 7 and on the backside. And a team that really, two very difficult overtime losses, some tough breaks in both of those games, but possibly could have been 9 or 10 win team. So really good football team in Virginia and well-coached, and we're looking forward to the matchup here. Spending the week in Charlotte and then obviously playing on the 29th.
Do you think some of those Charlotte officials at that press conference are thinking, maybe don't say everything here is really expensive?
No, I think they're trying to figure out a way to get him some discounts. That's what I think they're doing.
And give him some Belk discounts for the Belk Bowl. Everything here. Well, we need some better pricing in Charlotte. Good, Will. I like him. From the other point of view, Bronco Mendenhall, the coach of Virginia, talking yesterday and talked about how it helps Virginia to match up against an SEC team.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the matchup. We know about the SEC brand. I think all of us do through college football. And so many times what bowl games do is it gives a chance for comparison. And again, not only are you basically playing against a football program and a team, but you get a glimpse of what a style of play or what another conference might be. And so for us, as we relink our current performance to maybe past traditions and successes at UVA, it's the next chance to learn, discover, and then apply what we need to continue to grow our program.
A couple of your players said the other morning that you told them that the hungrier team usually comes out ahead in a bowl. How difficult is it to assess the hunger of your team leading up to the bowl?
Yeah, so I do stand by that. I think many times, based on a team's perception of the game and if it fits where they think they stand or what they deserve, sometimes that affects chemistry and motivation. And so in assessment, to me, the practice demand has a lot to do with that. And if a coach sets a high demand, you're able to see if the willingness of the team matches that, which then gives you an idea of what the mindset is going into the game. And so I would guess in this case both teams, again, eight looks better than seven, and the matchup is intriguing enough in itself, and there have been enough close games on both sides where, man, one more would make a huge difference. So I think that'll be two really motivated teams, and I think a great matchup.
Bronco Mendenhall is the head coach of Virginia, and you know, Muschamp was right. The last couple of games for Virginia this season kind of took a little wind out of their sails. They were having a very good year, but they lost 2 3-point games to close out the year. Lost to Georgia Tech on the road, 30-27, and lost to Virginia Tech also on the road, 34-31, to get their fourth and fifth losses of the season. The other losses on the year for UVA were a 4-point loss to Indiana back in September. They lost by 2 touchdowns to NC State in Raleigh at the end of September, and they lost to Pitt 23-13, 10 points, in Charlottesville on November 2nd. So 7-5 record, identical to the Gamecocks record. I think it's a pretty decent matchup. They have a good quarterback. They have a good secondary. And we'll see how the Gamecock passing game will match up against UVA. Again, that game coming up at 12 noon in Charlotte on the 29th, on the same day that the college football playoff games happen, with Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, Oklahoma. But earlier in the day, so it's not head-to-head. That's pretty good timing. Make it a day of watching football. Good football day coming up on Saturday, 2 weeks from tomorrow. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. We'll take a break and be back with more. You're listening to The Huddle. This is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to The Huddle. It's ESPN Upstate. It's Greg McKinney. It's Lonzo sitting in the studio on a Friday afternoon dealing with the rain. Rain's got it socked in here in the upstate of South Carolina today. And a little bit chilly out there as you head into the weekend. Not exactly good Christmas shopping weather out there. If you want to get in with us, 844-477-3776. Health Dare text line is 71307. I know a lot of people don't like Paul Feinbaum. I like the guy. Sometimes, though, he picks the weirdest things to get mad about, to me. And this is one of them. I mean, I know on the surface it's not a great look, but Paul Feinbaum is mad that Nick Saban at Alabama has brought in former Maryland coach DJ Durkin to do some things. Here's Feinbaum on the topic.
I think it is an absolutely terrible, embarrassing look for Nick Saban. This is a man that doesn't need any more consultants. He has the Dallas Cowboys operation pretty much running in his building. There are consultants on every street corner in Tuscaloosa. And to invite the criticism to bring this on him, I don't understand. He's the best coach in college football. This is the best program in college football. And this is a terrible look for the University of Alabama.
Where you been, Paul? He's been doing this forever. He's been doing this for a long time. He's brought in Hugh Freeze, Butch Jones, Steve Sarkisian, Rich Rod, Lane Kiffin, many of the so-called worst of college football. And, you know, Nick Saban can do it because he's Nick Saban. And ain't nobody in the state of Alabama telling Nick what to do. If you don't know the story about DJ Durkin, he was fired at Maryland in October. Initially, they retained him, but then they had to fire him because of public pressure. There were two separate investigations into the death of one of his players last spring during off-season workouts. And so the report is that DJ Durkin is at Alabama's football complex, has been there this week. He's been meeting with defensive staff members, and he has been watching tape. That has been his role so far at Alabama. AL.com first reported that Durkin was working in a consultant-like capacity for Alabama. No comment so far from Nick Saban. Sources told ESPN that Durkin has not been hired in any capacity. And at this point, he's on campus offering input to the staff as the Crimson Tide prepares to play Oklahoma in 2 weeks. Sources also told ESPN that Durkin has met with multiple NFL teams since his firing to watch tape and offer input. It's kind of what you do because you're unhirable right now. He was placed on paid leave at Maryland in August after the heat stroke suffered by his player, McNair, Jordan McNair. And then A subsequent report by ESPN characterized Maryland's program as having a toxic culture. There was a probe commissioned by the university. Basically said DJ Durkin made some mistakes, but he was not to blame for many of the issues. Wallace Lowe, the president, fired Durkin anyway, without consulting the Board of Regents. So here's the thing to me. I mean, what, you talk about this a lot, Lonzo, about second chances. What is it okay for DJ Durkin to do if not this? This nothing little job with Nick Saban's staff.
Well, yeah, the thing is, so he should never work ever again. I mean, to some people, that's how it should be. He should never work ever again. So I guess he should just go somewhere and die. Because, no, I mean, because that's how some people are so emotional about, and I get it. A kid died and everything,
yep.
and that's a horrible thing. Anytime anyone dies, it's horrible. But the fact that I just don't get what he's supposed to be. Is he allowed to work at a grocery store? I mean, what's he supposed to do? This is his profession.
Yep.
He must have been pretty good at it to reach the level that he was at. I don't see a problem with it.
Well, here's the thing Nick is doing that's smart. He's getting a lot of bang for his buck. I mean, I don't know if any money is changing hands. They say he's not been hired. He's been working in a consultant-like capacity. I guess they're giving him something, but not much. So he's getting a deal on a guy with a lot of football knowledge. You heard Will Muschamp gushing praise for DJ Durkin and basically slamming the media for quoting unnamed sources in some of the stuff that led to his dismissal there.
But this is a smart move on Durkin's part, going to Saban.
It gives him some credibility. It absolutely does. I mean, the thing with DJ Durkin and any guy in this situation is that he's going to have to claw his way back, and it's going to take time. And you need to start taking those steps. It's the first step. I don't know what else he could do that would be any less than this. Just because it's Nick Saban? Is that the deal?
Yeah, because Saban is willing to weather whatever storm there may be coming his way.
He does it over and over again. So, I mean, why is Feinbaum surprised would be my question. Upset would be my question. You know, I'm more upset when Liberty hires Hugh Freeze to be their football coach. Football coach. And they hire the guy from Baylor to be their athletic director. You know, not to be a low-level consultant, one of 100, on some staff somewhere. I mean, scream about that, right? This is smart for Nick Saban. I don't know DJ Durkin, but obviously he has some acumen for coaching, according to what I'm hearing from people who should know, like Muschamp, like Saban.
Is this one of those things, though, when Feinbaum gets on something, he just stays on it ad nauseum and will not stop?
Maybe it's a slow week and he needed something to talk about. Maybe he's just tired of, you know, we can't preview these playoff games for 3 straight weeks every day, so we need something else to talk about. But, I don't know. I mean, I would think that this is a pretty good place for DJ Durkin to start the long path back to working in coaching. This minor little job.
And if Feinbaum doesn't bring this up, does anyone know about it? Really?
Well, AL.com reported it. AL.com is a website that covers Alabama football really well. They reported it. I don't know how much of a backlash there was. I didn't hear too much about it. But now, of course, ESPN's picked up the story, and people are talking about it because Durkin's there at the Alabama football complex. Maybe you make them sit on the sideline without doing anything for a year. Nothing. I mean, I know it was recent that he got fired, but, you know, he wants to go out and do something, work a little bit. This is something he can do that's very low-key and not important in the scheme of things, so I don't have a problem with this one. 844-477-3776, the Health Care text line 71307, the Huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Break time. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. Wanted one more piece of evidence that Tom Brady is getting old. Did you see it?
I read the first line of it. That was enough, though.
Tom Brady says he was asleep before kickoff of the game last night. The Kansas City LA Chargers game. Sleep before kickoff. Good grief. Wow. That's pretty early.
He's not that old. Come on.
I don't know if I would have admitted that. He's getting pretty old. That's pretty bad. What did they kick off, like 8:15?
Yeah, it was about 8:15, 8:20, something like that.
Okay. Tonight, over at the Well, the Swamp Rabbits have a game. And if you're going to it, take a stuffed animal because it's Teddy Bear Toss Night at the Well. That's pretty cool. Have you ever been to one of those? I have not.
I have not either.
I'd like to do that. Bring a stuffed animal. When the Swamp Rabbits score their first goal of the game, send it out onto the ice. Fling it.
I'd be the guy who'd get an injury throwing a teddy bear onto the ice. I have to call in. I can't come in.
So what if they don't score? That happens sometimes.
I am curious about what you do then. I guess maybe you just throw it in at the end of the game.
Or... somewhere along the line, you got to toss the teddy bear. Because all these donations, they scoop them up and they benefit Toys for Tots. So that's a good thing. That's a cool thing to do, and it makes for a great visual. It's hard to be. That'll make every TV news show in the area tonight, right?
Can you buy one of those big teddy bears that's as tall as we are and take it in there and throw it out there?
Be tough to throw. You'd be standing, that glass is pretty high.
It is.
You got to launch it, man.
You enlist some help.
Get about four people.
There you go.
Chuck it underhanded over the glass. Yeah. Anyway, if you're going to the game, good night to do that with the weather the way it is. Going out and see the Swamp Rabbits. Take along a stuffed animal. It's a good idea. I like it. Gus Malzahn is calling plays for Auburn this coming year. He's back. And he talked about his job security this week after their first bowl practice. Gus Malzahn expressed enthusiasm about reclaiming the role as offensive play caller, because that's what got him the head coaching job in the first place. He was supposedly one of the better play callers. It was his first public comment since the loss to Alabama November 24th that wrapped up a 7-5 season for Auburn. The team's performance led to speculation about Gus Malzahn's standing, even with a hefty $32 million buyout. And there were statements from the athletic director, Alan Green, and the president, Stephen Leith, that Malzahn would return next season. Malzahn said, "I know a lot of things probably weren't accurate, were reported, but as a head coach, you stay in your lane, you do everything you can to get it turned around, we're going to do that." He disputed several reports that he had agreed to rework his contract, including reducing his buyout for future seasons. Yeah, that was a pretty common thing that I heard at the end of the year. Yeah, Gus Malzahn's coming back, but they cut his buyout. Malzahn said, "My contract has not changed one bit. I was never told I had to change my contract to keep my job. I have the support of our athletic director and our president. There is nobody hamstringing me from doing my job. I am happy, I promise." All right, he didn't say that part. Malzahn is betting on himself to turn around an offense that ranked among the least productive in the Southeastern Conference this past season. They have a Music City Bowl matchup on December 28th in Nashville against Purdue. And he will be back running the show on offense. He called the plays his first three seasons at Auburn. The first season, they got an SEC title and a national championship game appearance. But since then, the teams have only managed one more 10-win season. The offensive production has dropped off. Auburn's 75th nationally in scoring this year. They scored about 28.3 points per game. And he said the team was not disciplined enough at times on the season. Chip Lindsey was the offensive coordinator, and he left to take the same job at Kansas. That's an interesting move. Move from offensive coordinator at Auburn to the same job at Kansas. So Malzahn hired 28-year-old Kenny Dillingham away from Memphis as his offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, but he, Malzahn, will be the play caller. So going to be interesting. Issue is going to be Jared Stidham is skipping his senior season to go to the NFL draft. A lot of people thought Kelly Bryant would go there. Nope, going to Missouri. So what are you going to have at quarterback at Auburn as you call those plays, Gus? That is going to be a big question. Kind of interesting stuff. Going to be a fascinating year this coming year to watch Auburn, Gus Malzahn. Another bad year, and it's going to get ugly for sure. 844-477-3776, the phone number here in the huddle. Harold is on the line. Let's talk to him up next. Welcome in, Harold. How are you?
Doing fine, K-Mac. Listen, I wanted to ask, why come there's not a local radio station up here in this area carrying the Shrine Bowl game?
Good question. I don't know. We have commitment here on this station to Clemson basketball, and that's head-to-head, and then we have NFL coverage. But, yeah, I think they still have a radio network, and so I guess nobody's
going to. I know you used to be able to find it. You know, when it used to be played in Charlotte, you could find it, pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, so and I don't comment. Listen, I'm an old football addict, I reckon. I'm 73 years old. Tomorrow's going to be rainy, so what else we got to do except sit in and watch bad bowl games, you want to call them.
Yeah.
But I believe that, what is it, the Appalachian State, Middle Tennessee,
yep,
seemed to rain pretty good game. And I like that Arizona State because of Herm Edwards. I've been following him since he was with Tony Dungy at Tampa Bay. And he's done a lot. I like his style of coaching. I enjoyed him when he coached the what was it, the East West Army game.
Okay, yeah.
Stuff like that. And I mean, he seemed like a player I'd love to play for him. They've got another one there, you know, Georgia Southern. You know, I'm kind of interested in them. You know, other than that, I guess I'd be. But you know, what else we got to do tomorrow? It's supposed to be rainy.
No, that's right. I mean, there are a couple of NFL games that are okay. They're not the best, but
sound like a good day to enjoy popcorn, peanuts, and your favorite drink, right?
You got it, Harold. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Yeah, well, if you've got those three games, Harold, then you're covered from 3:30 till about midnight. Because Arizona State, Fresno State's a 3:30 kick in the Las Vegas Bowl. Georgia Southern, Eastern Michigan's a 5:30 kick. Those are going to overlap a little bit. And the Camellia Bowl and then New Orleans Bowl, 9 o'clock Appalachian State and Middle Tennessee State.
You know, I've always wondered what I would do when I was retired. And, you know, sounds like a good – you ain't got nothing else going on. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if it's raining outside.
I will never retire, though. I'll die here. But still.
Thanks for warning everybody around here for that. Give them a little advance notice so they'll know to come check the studio.
Oh, no. It's going to be on the board. They're going to have to peel me off the thing.
Wait till 3:59, please.
All right, I'll do that.
844-477-3776. You know, Harold brought it up about bowl games, and you wonder why there are so many. You know, 20 years ago there were 18 bowl games, and now there are 40. Why did that happen? How could that possibly make any sense? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. Let's take a break. We'll be back. This is The Huddle. If you want to jump on board, 844-477-3776. ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Welcome back. The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo. I saw that Debo Samuel was in Greenville yesterday working with the Greenville Police Department, giving away bicycles to kids. 50 bikes.
That's kind of awesome.
Cool. Yeah. So good job there, Debo. We appreciate that effort. 844-477-3776 is the phone number here in the huddle. Health Dare text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Bowl game starting tomorrow. Got a bunch of them on tap tomorrow. Not the biggest and the best, but still. Bowl season is here, and you know, you may be wondering why we have so many bowl games. Because, you know, 20 years ago we didn't. 20 years ago in the late 90s, we had 18 bowl games. Like in 1996-97, there were 18. 5 years later, there were 25. This year, 40. 40, more than doubled in the last 21 years. And why would that happen? Why would people want that many bowl games? Well, a good illustration of that is from USA Today, the story that they wrote about this. A good illustration of what's going on with the bowl games is that the mayor of a Chicago suburb was watching bowl game after bowl game on television, sitting on his couch last year after Christmas, and all those games were named after businesses that paid to have their names in the game, and he was thinking, why can't our town be a bowl game sponsor? The Elk Grove Village in the suburbs of Chicago has a slogan makers wanted to attract manufacturers to an industrial park next to O'Hare International Airport, Chicago, one of the busiest airports in the world. And he asked his wife, who was sitting on the couch with him, this guy's name's Craig Johnson, the mayor of Elk Grove Village. He said, can you picture Maker's Wanted Bowl and the 50-yard line? And she said, you're blanking nuts. But he didn't give up. And guess what? The Maker's Wanted Bahamas Bowl in Nassau will feature Toledo against Florida International December 21st on ESPN.
It's America, man. You have a dream, and you find a way, and you make it happen.
The slogan for an industrial park on a suburb of Chicago is sponsoring the bowl game. And here's the deal on it. Why would you do that? Well, it costs $300,000, okay? The city had to put up, the community, it's not really a city, had to put up $300,000. Craig Johnson, the mayor, estimates they've received millions of dollars in publicity already. Millions of dollars in publicity. So it sure looks like a good investment, doesn't it? Looks like it paid off. So, I mean, people think about, and you're going to look at this, and you're going to hear this, get ready, probably next week after people watch these bowl games, and they'll say, man, there was nobody in the stands. Not really about that. It's on TV. And there's sponsorship dollars attached to it.
And every sports show across the country, when they're talking about this bowl game is coming up, they're going to say that name every single time.
That's it. Yeah. How much is that worth? $300,000, that's pretty cheap for that. For national attention? For your industrial park, $300,000? Really? For 2020 and beyond, the NCAA has approved a possible expansion to 44 bowl games. That means nearly two-thirds of all major college football teams could go to bowl games. Two-thirds. 86 teams could be going to bowl games. It's going to get to where, you know, you better go to a bowl game or you're embarrassed, maybe fired.
Oh, you're one of those. You can't even make a bowl game.
Can't make a bowl game. That's great for business, according to the key market forces driving demand, sponsors, schools, cities, television viewers, ESPN. The average bowl attendance has declined for 10 straight years. Average per-game bowl attendance is down to about 40,000, down for 10 straight years. It does not matter, folks. Don't even look at the empty seats when you're watching these games on TV. Schools and conferences have been required to pay for $25 million in unsold tickets last year. $25 million in unsold tickets. But it doesn't matter. They're still winning, too. By far, the biggest reason for the expansion and wealth of the bowl industry is the Walt Disney Company. What? Well, because Walt Disney owns ABC and ESPN. And those networks will televise 35 out of the 40 games this year. All but five. And they will use them to drum up advertising revenue during the holiday season. And look, families are often at home, off work. You get all these people on vacation. Even the weekday day games. We told you next Friday, two bowl games, 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Because a lot of people will be off work next Friday. So it makes sense. Don't treat it like any other typical weekday, work day, school day. It's not. ESPN Events is a division of ESPN. ESPN Events owns and operates 13 bowl games. Owns and operates. They're going to own and operate the Myrtle Beach Bowl game in 2020. That's coming in. They own and operate the Bahamas Bowl we just told you about. Clint Overby, Vice President of Events for ESPN, says, what does it ultimately matter if there's, quote unquote, too many games? As long as there's interest and people want to play in them and there's a perceived value, it's a net positive for the sport. The number of games is not the issue. Even if the Bahamas Bowl can be considered a success for ESPN, despite it being the least watched and the least attended bowl game last year, it drew 13,585 fans last year. And the average television audience was 882,000 people. Ohio beat UAB 41-6 in that game. Well, other cable channels would love to be able to show advertisers and distributors they can get that kind of audience, 882,000 people on a weekday afternoon.
Just think what they could do with an 18 playoff.
Well, yeah.
Because number of games doesn't matter. He just said that.
No.
It's perceived interest. I think there's a little bit of interest in that.
You know, they had the Bahamas Bowl last year. It was the least watched game. Average television audience, 882,000. Same day, you know, you turn on TV, there's sports everywhere. There was a college basketball game on. There was a soccer game on. They drew less than half of the Bahamas Bowl audience. The least watched bowl game, people. That's why they're on. Neil Pilson, CBS Sports president, said ESPN looks at bowls as a highly profitable venture. They can get better ratings with a lower-tier bowl game than they can with an average college basketball game. That's why they do.
What's that say about college basketball?
Yeah. And that's not about to get any better, is it?
Nope.
No. ESPN pays an average of $470 million a year for media rights to games in the college football playoff rotation. The championship game last year drew $28.4 million, you know, compared to $882,000 in the Bahamas Bowl. So that was the second biggest audience in cable history last year. ESPN pays an additional undisclosed amount to put on its other bowl games. That adds to the money that flows out to participating colleges and leagues. Schools and their leagues earned a collective profit of $448 million from last year's bowl games. $448 million. $561 million in bowl payouts, minus $113 million in expenses, including $25 million they lost on unsold tickets. Most of the money came from six games. Now, the bigger bowl games bring in the bulk of the money. $465 million of that came in from the Cotton, Peach, and Fiesta Bowls, and then the three playoff games, semifinals and the championship. That money was shared with leagues and teams that did not participate in those games, such as those in the Bahamas Bowl. $15.4 million of Conference USA's $18.6 million in bowl payout money came from those big games, not from the games they played in. They weren't in those games. They still got $15.4 million from that. So get used to it. It's not going anywhere. And then, you know, you're talking about sponsorship. Last year, the Bahamas Bowl did not have a title sponsor. Popeye's Restaurant did not renew for last year. $450,000 cost. So they dropped that cost to $300,000, and the Elk Grove Village community said, we're in. We'll take it. We'll take it. The sponsorship contract calls for logos featuring Makers Wanted at the 50-yard line, on uniform patches, and other displays. ESPN is required to use the name Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl in all on-air references, in addition to airing commercials for the village during the game. The mayor said, go to Google right now, type in Makers Wanted. First thing that comes up is Elk Grove Village. That's marketing. That's why they did it. And that's why they're happy that they did it. And that's why we're going from 40 to 45 bowl games. 844-477-3776 is our phone number here in the huddle. Health Air text line 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. When we come back, three questions at three. Got some football and some basketball to talk about. And also in the next hour, let you hear from Greta Rogers. She is the lady who gave the business to a council meeting about Robert Sarver threatening to move the Suns out of Phoenix. That's coming up. It's pretty good. Stay with us. This is the Huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. We will be right back.